Time to check in with digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Social media, definitely part of our lives. Sometimes, though, it is too much of a part. And Scott's going to talk a little bit about this this morning and how you can best balance your social media use. Scott, you found a study involving teenagers that you wanted to bring to our attention. Tell us about this.
Yeah, sure. Good morning, Bob. So it was done by researchers at the University of North Carolina, and it was recently published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, so pretty serious stuff. And it studied about 200 teens that were in 6th and 7th grade. And in a nutshell, it identified a possible link between frequent checking of social media and changes in the brain associated with impulsive behavior. So to simplify even further, students who used social media more frequently had increased activation in parts of their brain, possibly making
Albertson stock jumps
to hear feedback and possibly leading to changes in impulse control and regulation. So in this study, they used some self-reported data from the subjects, but they also used MRIs where they were able to monitor brain function.
So this is a study of teens. What about adults? Any studies on older folks?
Nothing that I could find in terms of studies, but this particular study got me thinking. So for teenagers, the brain is still developing, and these are formative years, and social media is just one thing playing a role in that development, right? But think about how much social media people consume, not only teens, but adults as well. For some of us, I mean, it's a lot. And I started wondering if there are ways that we could lessen the impact of social media, not necessarily on our brains, but in our everyday lives.
Hmm. It feels like it's a little late for that, right? Whether it's for personal use or business, social media is such a huge part of our lives now.
I'm really glad you brought that up, because I used to think it was too late. And even though I didn't use social media as it exists today while I was a teenager, I spent an excessive amount of time on it in the work that I do. And the most of that being during my years in journalism. I was never hooked up to an MRI during my youth, although that would be interesting. But as time went on, I could feel the sense of it being too much. So I do think there are ways to harness those feelings and do things to help ourselves. And although life as a teenager is different than life as an adult, some of the tips and the tricks here, I mean, they could apply to any age. And one idea starts with comments. Just turn off the comments.
Well, easier said than done. They can be a little tough to read sometimes, can't they?
And they can, and that's it right there, Bob. I mean, think about it. How do we get absorbed into social media? We read comments, and then we reply to them. But what if when we posted, we turned the comments off? Or, depending on the platform, we can limit the ability for anyone who's not a friend to reply. I mean, doesn't it stand to reason that there would be a little less toxicity? I like to think so.
Yeah, that is a rabbit hole that's easy to go down, the comments. And it's a situation where you created the content and limited the ability to comment, right? What about everyday use if you're on social media?
In that case, I'd point back to those previous conversations that you and I have had over the years about taking time off of social media. Some people call it a social media detox. Some people call it a social media break. And it's really as simple as it sounds. It's a break. It's cold turkey for a set period of time. And it's up to you to find other ways to fill the time that social media takes up.
And if I remember correctly, you didn't always recommend these breaks, these detoxes, did you?
Oh, that's for sure, Bob. And I've since seen the error of my ways. I mean, it took me getting out of journalism to understand that when you are always plugged in 24/7, that you're not doing yourself any favors when it comes to your health. And in my previous jobs, I was required to be always on because I had to be able to react to the news the moment it happened. And I love that work, don't get me wrong. But now when I look back on it and I see how applying those same set of circumstances to someone who isn't a journalist or a social media manager, simply applying it to someone who is a prolific reader or even a business owner, someone who just has a tough time unplugging, right? I see now how that can affect them. And that's why this research at the University of North Carolina stood out to me in the way that it did. If the young brain reacts to social media usage in such a strong way, are there ways to still instill different habits so people don't eventually go overboard?
It's our weekly chat with social media strategist Scott Kleinberg. We've been talking about changes for young people as far as social media is concerned. Those of us who are older can benefit from some of these habits you're talking about breaking, right, Scott?
Oh, absolutely. And that's where tasks that seem so simple and so straightforward, Bob, that's where they're so valuable. So imagine this. Imagine a tweet that gets 50 replies because the comments are on. Some people would respond to each comment. 50 comments can turn into 100, and that can grow exponentially. I think many of us are trained to respond to people who address us. But if we didn't have the comments on, if you just stated an opinion, and that was it, and you moved on to something else, believe me when I tell you from experience that that's already better for your overall mental health. And if you take a break from social media and you replace that social media time with something else, you might find that you can rewrite yourself and actually rewire yourself in a different way.
You touched on this earlier. What about someone in business who needs social media as a tool? In that case, a break might not be the best advice, I would imagine. What do you say to that?
I completely agree. And in that case, I would recommend absolutely looking into social media automation tools. So whether your business has 10 employees or 10,000, there are tools that people use to automate the process. Now, from a best practices standpoint, you want to be very careful of automating too much because it's easy to cut and paste a tweet into another platform, but that's not going to get you any results. But automation tools allow you to set something up so you aren't always plugged in. And that said, you always have to be mindful of scheduling social media posts because when news breaks, that's a topic that I want to touch on also in the future. But for now, if you've never used an automation tool and are curious, start with a Google search as a great way to get started.
I want to open up the Genius Bar here in a minute. But first, there was a story floating around the other day about Twitter expanding and allowing you to tweet up to 4,000 characters. Anything to that?
I saw that story, and will there be anything to it? Maybe. Not right away. Elon Musk has said in his barrage of tweets that he likes to do, he said that he doesn't like the limitation of the 280 characters. That's what Twitter was built on, remember. It was a micro-blogging platform. Started at 140, went to 280. Now he's talking about a higher limit of 4,000. If that happens, you go from a tweet to a blog post, right? 4,000 characters is a huge amount of characters, but it's not going to happen overnight. If it does happen, it may be a feature that's only for people who pay for Twitter. It may be more like a blogging feature than a tweet feature. I think if Twitter automatically changed to 4,000 characters, I think it would take away from what the original intent of the platform was, and it would change user habits. So watch it as something that could happen down the road in some form, at least an expansion of the number of characters, but not something that's going to happen right away.
For me, that would ruin Twitter. Maybe that's because I have a short attention span, but I really like the fact that you can quickly, in my case, get news and information, and you can just go from one tweet to the next tweet and at least get the headlines. And then if you want more information, you can click into something further.
I absolutely could not agree with you more. And all the times that you and I have talked about Twitter is not Facebook, Twitter is not LinkedIn, Facebook is not Instagram, Twitter is not a blogging platform. It's a quick read, and that's what it was built on. If they're going to change it into something completely different, then it's not going to be Twitter.
All right, now on the Genius Bar, this is an interesting question. Say you're starting a text thread and you want to name it, but some people on the thread have Androids, not iPhones. And so I guess you can't do that. But is there a workaround so you can name the thread in that case?
I don't think so, Bob. If there is, please tell me what it is for the simple reason that I've been struggling with this for years. My mom and my sister have Android phones. They refuse to get iPhones. Any group message that I have between people who have iPhones, you have the option right at the top to change the name. As soon as you get an Android person involved, everybody loses the opportunity to change the group name. It's because iMessage, which is what iPhones use, and Android, they use a completely different system and they're not compatible. And there's this funny, famous thing where someone who had an Android a couple of years ago tweeted to Apple CEO Tim Cook and said, "How is it so hard that as an Android user, I can't do this, this, and this?" It wasn't texting, but it was something else. And Tim Cook actually responded and he said, "I suggest you get an iPhone." And if you think about it, that's really what sets an iPhone apart from other things. It's a very specific foundation for how they do things. And the people who like features like that, being able to change names and do things, they want to have the same technology. But unfortunately, to answer your original question, there is nothing that I've ever heard of that would let you work around it. The closest you could come is name your contact something else, but that's not really an answer.
All right. If we get a text or an email from a listener with a solution, we'll pass it along to you.
Please do. That would be amazing.
Stay handy, Scott. I think when we open up the Genius Bar next week, I'm really going to need you because I believe my new phone will be arriving any day now, and I'll have all sorts of questions about the setup of that. And I'm already freaking out because, you know, for example, you know how you set your phone so that it doesn't go to sleep too quickly, and I'm wondering now, when I get the new phone, will I have to go back and reset all of those functions, or will it automatically be there?
Short answer, it'll automatically be there. Long answer, we may want to schedule 30 minutes so we have enough time to talk about it.
Okay, it's a deal. Until next week, Scott, have a good day. Thank you, as always.
You too, Bob. Take care.